Again, let me welcome you to OIC. We are really, really happy that you came today. We're continuing our study in the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. It was a church that he loved. He had started this church, and now he finds himself in prison. And he writes this letter to them in response to a man named Epaphroditus who had came from Philippi to visit and brought a report on what was happening at the church there. So Paul writes this letter back to them. He'd started the church, but he still displays a pastoral heart for the church. You know, a pastoral heart is a rare thing. It's a rare thing for a pastor to have a pastor's heart. It means he has a sense of caring for everything that happens in the congregation. Everything that happens that makes our church a church. A pastoral's heart works on all of those things. If you notice if you've looked ahead at the text, where we are not going to be looking at the verses 4 through 11 in chapter 3, but let me capsulize those for you in about one or two sentences. Basically, the Apostle Paul said this: when I see the value of Christ and what I saw when I saw that salvation was only in Christ, I took everything that once was gain to me and counted it as loss. And I abandoned all of that stuff for Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at a great portion of Scripture, one of my favorites. It's from the book of Philippians, 3rd chapter, 12 through 16, and that's going to be our support text today. So let's look at it. Here's what Paul said to the church at Philippi. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold for that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Wow. Let me pray. Help us keep our focus. Lord, I pray now that as we've seen the Scripture, that we would begin to apply these thoughts that Paul has given to the church at Philippi directly, Lord, from the Holy Spirit to Paul, to the Philippi church, to us. May we see application for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the basic thought of our passage today is the pursuit of the prize. Wow. Today, let me give you three elements, if you're taking notes, three elements that are necessary when pursuing the prize. The prize is the upward call to eternity with God. But before we get there, along the way, the prize is also becoming more like Jesus. That's what we're striving for, becoming more like Jesus before we actually get to heaven. So element number one, here it is. Don't think we're there yet. A lot of people walking around, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm finished, thank you very much, I don't have to do another thing for the rest of my life. All I got to do is wait to die, and then I go to heaven. Stop. You see, Christianity is a proactive life. It's not a no-active life, it's proactive. We're supposed to be living for Christ. We're supposed to be accomplishing things. Wow. When we come to church, this is like a huddle for us. We come together to talk about what Jesus is doing in our lives. Yes. And then we go out. Yes. This isn't all there is to being a Christian. This is just when we come together to celebrate together. Being a Christian means what we do outside of the church walls. Of course, we worship God here. Let's look at verse 12 in our passage. Not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I, the Apostle Paul, press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Wow. Basically, Paul says, if we take a close look at ourselves, we're all going to see that we are not as we should be, that we are not all that we can be, and we are not all that we will be when we eventually meet Christ. If I read this passage properly, I think this is what it says. Spiritual growth starts with a recognition that none of us are where we ought to be spiritually. The right attitude seems to be, I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I think many of you have seen the expression, God hasn't finished with me yet. Remember that? Yeah. I seen it upstairs. It's in my office. Somebody conveniently left it there. I'm sure it was for my own good, but somebody, there used to be a picture of Pastor Joseph on there. I think I'm supposed to stick my picture in there now, but I'm not there yet. Okay, that's good. That's a good recognition. But you know something? God hasn't finished working on me, but follow that thought through. We are supposed to be doing something as well. Not only is God working on me, but we are working towards Christ-likeness. We can't stop and just be idle. Yes, God will work on us, but God's calling us to be at work ourselves, to be growing in Christ-likeness. Wow. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell the church at Philippi. Christian life is not passive. Here's another verse that helps me explain that. It's from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then when I get to heaven, I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. God in His perfectness knows me perfectly, but I don't yet know Him perfectly. But this word, this passage says, yeah, it's looking in a mirror, kind of. I can't see it clearly yet, but eventually I will. Not only will I see Him perfectly, I'll see the goal, what I'm striving for. It's just another reminder from Scripture that we're not quite there yet. Staying in verse 12 of our text, let's go back to that. Not that I have already obtained it or already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. The words press on, if you're taking notes, there's a Greek word. It's called dioko, D-I-O-K-O in Greek, and it means this. It means to be aggressively and energetically pursuing the endeavor. And the endeavor is Christ-likeness. It takes a proactive mindset to do that. Paul basically says, I'm running after the prize with all my might. Oh. Many of you may not understand that Paul's not a brand new Christian when he writes this. How many years do you think after Paul's conversion did he actually write this letter to the church at Philippi? Anybody know? Close to 30 years. Did Paul become a Christian and then a couple years later and say, yeah, I don't have to go to church anymore. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm going to stay home. Yeah, it's much more fun to sleep in bed all day instead of going to church on Sunday. Paul says, even though I've been a Christian for 30 years, I want to be with Christians. I want to help them. I want to worship God together. Wow. Yes. I think if Paul lived on another 60 years, he would still feel the same way. Unfortunately, about 3 or 4 years after Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul's killed. The Roman government kills him. They think he may have caused the fire that burned Rome down. He didn't. But they're going to blame him anyway, and Paul's going to be crucified for that. Wow. But after 30 years, he's still aggressively pursuing the goal. Let me show you another verse from Hebrews 1. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This great cloud, excuse me, just a second, I don't think, can we have that? Just leave it just for a second. This great cloud of witnesses, if you're familiar with Hebrews chapter 12, it's called the Faith Hall of Fame. All the great men of faith are lifted here, listed, and we can imagine them looking at us now. Wow. Isn't it exciting to know someone's looking at us, this great cloud of witnesses? Let's see the next verse. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What does it mean, despising the shame? It means it could have been a very shameful experience to hang on a cross in front of people with a thorn in his head, bleeding, half naked before the world. It could have been a very shameful experience. But what does Jesus say? Yeah, I didn't have any shame. I wanted to do it. I could have called 10,000 angels, but I didn't. I wanted to die for the world. I had to. So he didn't care about the shame that I see so many Christians. I like the book in Romans. It says, you should not be ashamed of the gospel. But I see so many Christians who are afraid to share their faith. Yet Jesus said, look, I'll hang on a cross. I'll die for you in public. Wow. We have to be very careful not to ever be ashamed of the gospel. We must lay aside everything that will slow us down. So what is necessary in pursuing the prize? Well, the first element is this. Recognize we're not there yet. And we have to be aware of the fact that our spiritual condition needs improvement. So that's point number one. Because we're not there yet, we need to have our spiritual condition improving. And that I need to maximize my effort. It's not an inactive life. It's a proactive Christian life we must live. Element number two. Forget the past. Wow. I like this road sign Yuko set up for us, past behind. Has anybody seen those signs driving through the Osaka streets? No, but it's a nice sign. Let's imagine it's everywhere we turn. Yeah. Forget the past and forget what's behind us and move forward. Wow. Let's look at verse 13 from our passage. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Wow. Paul uses this beautiful term of affection for the church at Philippi. He calls them brethren. He wants to move the hearts of the readers of this letter. But he includes this disclaimer, doesn't he? There's a disclaimer there if you read it carefully. He says, look, I'm telling you all these things, but he says, look, I haven't done it myself yet. I'm still working on it. It's okay if you're still working on it. I'm not expecting you to be there yet. When we focus on our concentration on pursuing the prize, listen carefully. There's a negative and a positive. The negative is leave behind and forget all that stuff. Forget what lies behind. And the positive? Reach out for what lies ahead. Don't let past sins debilitate you. Don't let past sins debilitate you. I'm saddened to see so many Christians walking around with all of their past sins still clinging to them like barnacles on the hull of a ship. And it drags them down, doesn't it? Wow. If you're running in a race, do you want extra things to take along with you, or do you want to be as light and fast as you can be? Let's imagine this pulpit. Ah, like it? Good. Come in this side. Let's imagine I'm running in a race. Ready? I have to push this to there. And there it is. There is eternity with God. But I want to get there. But I have to push this. This is all the stuff I've ever done wrong in my life. And I have to take this with me. Snooskashiness. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, hold it. What's that? What's this? 1969. I was 18 years old. I was never further from God than in 1969. But yet, if I let it, I would have to push this around with me for the rest of my life. 1969. I had long hair. I had a beard. Yeah, I did. It wasn't gray. My hair was quite dark then. But the things I was doing with my life, they weren't honoring God. I'm ashamed. For the thoughts I had of God in 1969. Wow. 3 years later, I met my lovely wife. And the Holy Spirit began to convict me. 7 years later, in 1978, I found Christ. But if I had lived in 1969 for the rest of my life, I would still be separated. Wow. I don't know when your 1969 is, because I think I'm a little older than some of you. Yeah, really, you know, really. I'm a little bit older than some of you. But some of you are still walking around like it's 1969. I don't want to walk around this way. So I'm glad that God forgave 1969. Wow. I'm so happy. I think there was something inside here that Nancy left for me, but that is okay too. Yes. Here's the beautiful thing about the race, pursuing the prize. Christians, you're never disqualified. You're never disqualified. That's why God gave us 1 John 1:9. He says, if we ask forgiveness, God is faithful and just to forgive us of the sin and to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness. We're never disqualified. We get back in the race even after 1969. And I wasn't even in the race then. I was morally, spiritually, everything about my life was not even at the ballpark. It was away from God as far as it could be. Let's look at Isaiah 1:18. It will help us as well. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. What? 1969. Scarlet. Crimson. But I met Jesus. Now they're white as snow. Now they're like wool. Wow. Jesus did it. That's why we're never disqualified. When we ask forgiveness, we can be white as snow. I can't fathom it. I can't understand it. But God's ways are much higher than mine. You see, when we think negative thoughts, we're letting the past drag us down. Those negative thoughts that come into your head and tell you how bad you are, have you ever had that happen to you? Oh, you're a very bad person. You don't look like a Christian. Ever had that? Guess who put those thoughts in your head? Do you think God put them there? Do you think God said, you're a very bad person? Never. That's satanic lies. I look at you, you're a beautiful group of people. Wow. I probably said this before. I look at you, I wonder, how much sin do you do? You must sin at some point, but you look almost angelic. Yeah, you do. So I'm very happy to look upon your faces. You see, we have to live forgetting the past. We need to find that new motivation for pursuing the prize, that God has forgiven my sins. He counts them as nothing. So why let them drag me down or hold me in a stationary position? I want to be moving towards the goal. Here's another verse that helps me. It's from Psalms 17. For as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. That's not tomorrow morning when I wake at morning on Mia. This is when I wake in heaven with God. I'll be satisfied with his likeness. I'll have Christ's likeness. I'll be in eternity with God. I'll have Christ's likeness. I don't have it now. I still have to live in this body. It's not quite perfect yet. Not even close. But I love Christ's likeness. That's what motivates me. If I had to think I have to live in this body forever in eternity, no. I'm going to have Christ's likeness. We have to live in light of the fact that we are being called out of this world, and I'm motivated to know that I will one day awake with his likeness. I am waiting for perfection from God. God won't give me that until I get to heaven. Let me recap what we got so far. Let me recap. First of all, if we're pursuing the prize, first of all, we need to recognize we're not there yet. And secondly, we need to forget the past. Forget the past. Especially all the junk from the past. All the bad stuff. You can remember the good stuff. Sure. Element number three. Press on toward the goal. Philippians 3:14-16. Let's look at that. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, we might have, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. I probably told you this before, I'll say it again. Do not live beneath our theology. Don't live beneath what we know to be true from God. Live at that standard if we can. The whole heart of this passage we're studying today is the pursuit of the prize. And in verse 14 of that, Paul admits he's still pressing on towards the goal, and so should we. Not just the goal of arriving, but the goal of becoming more Christ-like as we get closer to eternity with God. Wow. I remember as a young pastor, I was just a young man in my early, or my later 20s. And I was working as the associate pastor of a church in Orlando, Florida. just a few miles away from Disney World. And my senior pastor, he says, Brian, we will go visiting our parishioners today. I said, oh, good, let's go. I'll show you how I make home visits. Sounds like a good thing for training. All right, we get in the car. This was an American car. I was a passenger. He gets in the car. We're driving. We get to the first person's home. Gary, the pastor, says to me, Brian, open your door and slam it hard. Okay. Boom. Okay. Wow. What next? Just a minute, he says. Boom. We close the doors. We make a loud noise. I'm just training. I don't know what he's doing. I say, Pastor Gary, why? Why are we doing this? He says, wait a minute. And pretty soon, somebody came to the curtain at the window and opened it. I could see their face. The pastors are here. Oh, no. See, we never told them we were coming. I thought it was kind of a mean trick, really. But I was being trained. He said, Brian, wait here about 5 minutes in the car with me. 5 minutes went by. I said, now what do we do? He said, now we have given them time to clear all the cigarette smoke from their living room and to kick all the beer bottles under the couch. You see, Brian, they weren't pursuing the prize right now. But they don't want us to know that. So then we would go. Hello. They'd open the door. Oh, Pastor Brian, so glad you came today. And Pastor Gary, please come in. Yes. But we know, if you look under the couch, oops, there are the beer bottles. And where did you hide the ashtrays? Oh, they're under there. We know where they are. It's okay. You know something? There's nothing wrong with smoking. I don't particularly like it myself, but the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with having a drink or two, but the scriptures do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I don't drink and I don't smoke, but that doesn't mean it's wrong for everybody. Okay? So don't feel like you can't have something to drink of alcohol, because even Jesus turned water into wine, so I'm sure he means it's okay for us to have some, just not to be drunk with it. Wow. Oh, by the way, if I'm ever coming to visit your home, I don't drive a car, and I would never, ever come to your home without first telephoning you. Okay. Hello, this is Pastor Brian. I'll be coming to your home next week, so it'll be Tuesday afternoon around 1 o'clock, so give yourself lots of time to get ready. What a mean trick that pastor had. I didn't like it at all. So when I heard him do that, I didn't want to ever do that to my parishioners. What should motivate you, and what should motivate me? The upward call, of course. We have to live, I told you, with the thought of being called out of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here in Osaka. I'm motivated to know that one day I'm going to awake with his likeness. If you look carefully at verse 15, can we go back to verse 15? Back one slide, please. Here, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. What? You know what Paul's doing here? He's being very sarcastic. He's writing this letter to some people in the church at Philippi, and he's being sarcastic. This is what he's saying. Some people at the church, they actually think they're perfect. It must have frustrated Paul. And he says, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, of course our different attitude must be, I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect yet. That's the attitude we should have. So when Paul writes this, he's being kind of funny. He's being sarcastic. He said, if anybody's walking around thinking, hey, I'm perfect, You can come to my church if you want to, but the rest of you just have to take a back seat to the perfect people in our church. None of us are perfect. And I'm far, far away from it. I'm but filthy rags without Christ. I'm nothing. I'm destined for hell without Jesus. I'm not close to perfect. Think this way, he says. Set your mind on this, pursuing the prize. You'll see there will be times in our life, and probably in your life as well, when you just don't feel like pursuing the prize. Have you ever had that? You just don't feel like it today? One or two of you are honest. That's good. Somebody actually nodded. No, I think they were just falling asleep. They nodded their head and then they woke up because the person next to them hit. At times we don't feel like it. We're human beings. Maybe the world beat you up and you just don't feel like it. Guess what? Guess what? You don't have to feel like it, but God wants you to. It's better when we want to do it. So please, please, please motivate yourselves. Or, I guess this will happen to you. The Holy Spirit will prompt you. The Holy Spirit will say, Brian, gomen nisai, I'm sorry for waking you up, but you have not read your Bible yet today. You have not done your SOAP, S-O-A-P, scripture, observation, application, and prayer. The Holy Spirit will tell me, you have forgotten it, and I will do it. Or, sometimes God will bring a special event into your life. Wow. Something very, wow. I almost got run over by a bicycle today. Whew. Thank you, God, for protecting me. Or, maybe this will help motivate you, God brings a special person into your life. Oh, yes, this is very nice. Maybe a special visitor comes to our church. We have people that came from all over the world today to worship with us. And God told me, Brian, prepare a special message every Sunday. Because every Sunday, we open the doors of our church to the world. And I want them to know this church is Christ-centered. This church is Bible-based. This church is a place where you can be loved and where God will love you. That's what this is all about. Let's look at the last verse, 3:16. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. The standard. Who is the standard? Jesus. That's the standard. We can't accomplish being exactly like Jesus because we still live in the flesh. Remember the reason Jesus could die for our sins. He was the only perfect sacrifice, not us. Why pursue the prize anyway? And here are some important reasons why we pursue the prize. Okay, I'll give them to you. If you're taking notes, take them real quick. Here we go. Number one, it glorifies God. When people see us pursuing the prize, they look at us and they say, that person must be a Christian. Wow. He loves God so much, he's pursuing the prize. It glorifies God. When we live for Him. Number two, it verifies the fact that we are regenerated. Remember the passage? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, if everything has become new, that regenerated me should be honoring God. Glorify God, live our lives verifying the regeneration, within that regeneration, we literally were walking away from God. And then we did a 180. Now I'm walking towards God. I want to show the world that. I want to show the world that. Incidentally, if anybody wants to do street evangelism with us, the 15th of September at Tennoji Station, we can use you. Number three, the third reason why I pursue the prize, it keeps me on the straight and narrow path. It keeps me out of trouble. I have been known at times in my life to get in some trouble. Most of you, however, haven't really had that because you're such almost perfect. No, it's not right. No. You know, every one of us finds ourselves at times in a little bit of trouble. The most frustrating thing that a pastor ever sees in his congregation is this. Can I let you into my pastor's heart? Here's the most frustrating thing a pastor sees. Inconsistency. Inconsistency. People come to church. Yada! Yes, I love to sing and praise. And now let's go to the fellowship hall. Yes, I'll see you next week. For sure. Wow. And then we don't see them for 3 months. Where have you been? I don't know. Inconsistency. Let me give you four things real quick. Somebody's taking notes. You need an extra page. Here, you want some more paper? Echo, I have some here. You're okay? You need more? Okay. She takes a lot of notes. Here's four things that help you with consistency. First, consistently read your Bible. God's Word is the only system of absolutes you need. There is no other system, only this. Secondly, be consistent in your prayer life. As I converse with God, I get further direction. Third, I recognize that as I venture through my life, there will be trials, there will be difficulties, but I know this, God will be with me. Fourth, find earthly examples of good Christians and hang out with those people. Guess what? Some of them might rub off on you. Wow. That's why it's nice when we go to lunch after church with a group of Christians and we can talk about the things of the Lord and have koinonia. God places other Christians in our life for a reason. If you're not yet a Christian and you come to this church, you're surrounded by other Christians who want to help you. Let me conclude. Ask yourself this question. Are you pursuing the prize? Are you growing spiritually? I take my hat off to all those who attend the Bible studies here. Whether it's the Wednesday Bible study, or the Friday night Bible study, or the Wednesday night Bible study, or the other studies. People that are really trying to grow. My wife has a Bible study mostly for non-believers. People that are trying to find out who Jesus is. Why did he die for us? My wife teaches that study. Some of the Christians attend just to help the non-believers. Are we growing? Are we pursuing the prize? Or are we standing in one spot? Somebody left this carpet tile here. Are we standing in one spot? We're not moving. And while we're standing there, are we defending ourselves as to why we're not moving forward towards God? Are we saying, I can't. I can't move forward towards God because I'm too busy at work. I am very busy. I go early in the morning, I come back late, and I cannot think about God. I can only think about accounting. That's all I can think about. Give yourself a break. God's with you every moment of every day. Or secondly, I've had some serious health issues. I can't think about God until I get beyond that. I want to, but I can't. So I'm too busy at work, or my health issues, or I have family problems. I can't do it. Or here's one that I've heard before. It's genetics. It's all genetics. Genetics? Huh? Yes, it's genetics. My parents were both lazy people, and I have the same disease. I am lazy. I can't do it. It's genetics. Give me another break. I had 2 weeks to prepare this message because Pastor Adam spoke last week. So I had a few extra bonuses for you today. I'm sorry. So if you find yourself stuck in the mud, pray about it. Ask God to refresh your commitment to pursue the prize. And if sin is slowing you down, confess that sin to God, like we did during the communion service. 1 John 1:9. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. Imagine this issue, your arm, and you have sin in your life. After a while, it gets very hard to hold your arm up because the sin is weighing you down. But 1 John 1:9, it's the escape hatch of the New Testament. When we ask forgiveness from God, guess what? Pew! It's gone. Back again, strong. That's why He gave it to us. So that we can be cleansed from all the unrighteousness, so that we can serve God even better. Let's pray. Lord, I praise You and thank You for Your word today. Lord, we're not ever disqualified from the race. So help us, Lord, to focus on You. You'll strengthen us, Lord. You will encourage us. You will love us through the times of our lives when the trials are there. But Lord, our goal is to pursue the Christ-likeness You have given us and granted us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.